Slava Isus Christu, Slava Nabihi. Glory to Jesus Christ, glory forever. You are listening to Christ Among Us, a program brought to you each Sunday at this time to reach those who are elderly or ill and those who are not able to attend their church for Sunday worship. This program is sponsored by the Diocesan Resource Committee of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat in Parma, Ohio, and by your contributions. Each Sunday, we will bring to you the Word of God. We hope to brighten your lives and bring you joy and solace.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased to the tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes." Glory to Jesus Christ. My name is Father Deacon Basilius from St. Sophia Ukrainian Catholic Church in Gardner, North Carolina. A long time ago, I considered investing in land in another country where the prices were increasing. I didn't plan to build anything on it, just waited for the price to increase before selling it for a profit. I wanted to turn it into a farm and grow rice or vegetables by hiring farmers. But then people told me that just hiring farmers might not work. They said I should get someone I trust, like a family member, to watch over the land. Otherwise, the farmer might come up with excuses like pests or even steal the things they grow. They might also be lazy and not take care of the land properly. In line of today's gospel passage, Jesus uses the vineyard allegory from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 to 7 to condemn the Jewish leaders. The vineyard, representing Israel, features protective elements like a hedge, winepress, and tower, mirroring God's providence for Israel. The tenants, symbolizing religious leaders, were supposed to yield spiritual fruit for God's covenant, but they did not. When prophets saw repentance, the tenants killed them. The landowner's son was also rejected and killed, foreshadowing Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus questions the outcome, and the chief priests unwittingly condemn themselves. They predict the landowner's judgment on the wicked tenants and the vineyard transfer. This parallels their punishment for neglecting their role as caretakers. Drawing from Psalm 118, Jesus likens Israel's dismissal to a rejected cornerstone that becomes crucial for building walls. He applies this as Herod renovates the temple. Jesus, the rejected stone, signifies his role in the new temple, his church. His crucifixion and resurrection establish the church as the cornerstone, vindicating him. Jesus confronts the leaders through this parable, exposing their condemnation, rejection of the Messiah, and impending consequences. What does this mean for us today? Remember, this lesson isn't just about Israel's leaders. It is equally relevant for church leaders, clergy and lay leaders alike, and everyone striving for spiritual growth. As a management consultant, I frequently advise corporate executives dealing with office politics. It is common for managers to establish their domains and fiercely guard them. Unfortunately, this behavior often hinders company from keeping pace with industry demands and competitors. Instead, they resemble cumbersome tanker ships burdened by excessive bureaucracy. Here is my advice to them. Consider bringing in an external firm to evaluate your corporate governance. Be prepared for difficult decisions. Downsizing might be necessary, including parting ways with those managers. Those who do not evolve risk becoming irrelevant to the organization. The process is unlikely to be pleasant, as resistance, conflict, self-preservation, and potential harm to the company could be expected from some of these individuals. In our ministry, some of us tend to act more like church bureaucrats rather than shepherds, creating obstacles for people who want to approach God by imposing numerous requirements and regulations. Instead of focusing on our vocation, some of us get caught up in church politics, drama, gossip, scandal, and circus that are entertaining to watch. Even without knowing it, we have become a spectacle of devil's works, becoming a cheerleader of it. There are even times when we engage in unnecessary conflicts with Christians from different denominations. Whenever we start wondering, what could we do other than yield fruit? The devil has an answer to that. Come, tear apart the body of Christ. Ask ourselves, is this behavior how Jesus would care for his church? Jesus spoke of himself as the true vine and referred to his Father as the gardener. In his teaching, he emphasized that he removes any branch within him that fails to bear fruit, while diligently pruning every branch that bears fruit so it would produce more fruit. If we become too comfortable in our roles and miss the signs of spiritual stagnation in ourselves or the church, God may use various ways to remind us of our vocations. Ignoring this reminder could lead us to reject God's words and His Son, with severe consequences. Christ will take whatever action is necessary to remove obstacles in the church so that it may grow and yield more fruits. My intention here is not to evoke fear, but to underscore the seriousness of our vocations in God's vineyards. Let us therefore tend to those under our care the way Jesus himself will care for them and actively enlarge his kingdom by spreading the gospel to those in our neighbors. Glory to Jesus Christ!
Нагадую, ви слухаєте радіопрограму «Христос посеред нас».
Слава Ісусу Христу! This is Father Deacon Milan Schmack from Holy Trinity Ukrainian Catholic Church in Carnegie, Pennsylvania. This is Sunday, August the 27th, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. And our gospel reading today is from Matthew 21, verses 33 to 42. Let us be attentive. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. Dug a wine press in it and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. But when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. And when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to the other vine dressers, who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you ever read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters, there probably aren't many vineyards close to where you live, but we can all still understand what Jesus Christ was talking about in today's gospel reading. The gospel message is about those who reject Christ. When we refuse to follow his teachings, we reject him. The point is this: if we view our faith simply as a set of laws to obey, then we will end up rejecting Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of our lives. For our Savior is not merely the teacher of a code of conduct. He's the foundation of our life. He goes to the heart. We are his temple, and our life is in him. When we reject Christ, we are just like the building that isn't properly grounded on a solid foundation, which is dangerous. As Christians, we would be worshiping rocks and trees in the seasons of year, if it were not for our Savior, who fulfilled the promises to Abraham to include us all. Something or someone has to be the foundation in our life. If it's not our Lord, we will make up false gods. The character of our hearts and souls will be determined by something or someone. Will we be a temple of one kind or another? But if we want to be different from those vineyard workers who rejected and killed the landowner's servants and even his son, our life, our very identity, must be firmly, solidly grounded on the one true cornerstone, Jesus Christ. That's why we don't look and talk about Christian lives as just a simple set of rules. For it's easy to obey laws, even if it's just a few of them, and then find the loopholes to get around what we don't want to do. But Christ is not the cornerstone of that kind of life. To accept him as the cornerstone of our lives is to be engaged in the eternal process of sharing his life and light, of being transformed by his loneliness to the depths of our hearts. Anything that doesn't fit squarely on the foundation of Jesus Christ has no place in us. Thus, we pray, fast, and forgive those who wrong us, help the poor, and guard our thoughts and fight our passions. We will gain the charity that we need to sort out from the holy, the unholy, in our hearts and lives. And as we are nourished by our Lord's body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, and receive his forgiveness through confession, we will find new strength to embody the righteousness of Christ as we go through each day. Remember that our goal is not to follow a law. No, it's to become like an iron in the fire, to shine visibly with a radiant light of heaven, to convey the unspeakable beauty of God in an often dark and ugly world. Now, my friends, as we enter into the offering of the Eucharist, let us now truly lift up our hearts and commit ourselves and one another and our whole life unto Christ our God. And when we begin a new week, let us actually live that way as we go through our daily routines and shine forth with the glory of the true temple built squarely upon one true foundation, the cornerstone of our Lord, God, and Savior Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, to do anything less is to reject him. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Слава Україні.
Героям слава. Glory to the
Слава Ісусу Христу.
Слава Богу.
My friends, I welcome you. Michael, yes, almost half a parishioner, welcome you. I would like to start with some of the reflection I had and feeling which I had after last Sunday service. Interfaith service at St. Paul Cathedral. For those of you who were present, George finished my speech really well with these words which I just said. Glory to Ukraine and to its heroes. And I was very, very satisfied that I was able to deliver my speech out of my heart. And the message was delivered to all the congregation. And I mentioned and I said this, it's clear that this is the war, no doubts, that this is new fascism, no doubts, that Russia is a terrible, evil country and lead by new Hitler, killing, destroying people and destroying peaceful people of Ukraine. Now, after that speech, I felt so tired. That someone said, if you want to stay a little bit after all service was, I said, no, I need to go because I am so tired. I came home, I worked a little bit at the office, and I fell asleep as never before. I slept well and slept like a dog. It was really deep sleep, you know. And it was 11 days of war, and then next day, again, routine. Work, hospital, responsibilities and duties on the parish and so on. Thursday I had the classes at Shadyside. And you know, I was some kind of message from God to me, and I was able to connect some of the dots, because I this is what were happening and still happening with me. Last Thursday at my CPE, Clinical Pastor Education classes, we had the lecture, and the lecture was delivered by one professor, professor of psychotherapy, and he is the author of the book. It recently was printed and became available. The book is Working with the Spiritual Struggles in Psychotherapy. And his name is Kenneth Pergamon. And this explained a lot of to me. You know, and this is what I'm experiencing now, that spiritual struggle, that pain and everything what I have. The lecture was about how to help chaplains in a hospital condition to be available for the patients which are having also a struggle, spiritual existential struggle. It's all exist. You know, when you come, enter to the room of nice looking woman, and she says, Father, why? I exercise every morning. I eat well and healthy. You know, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke. Why? That cancer? And I have no explanation. I have no answer. She's struggling a lot. There's people who are losing their family members. I don't know. They are struggling. In this book, by this presentation, this professor, he had a gentleman. His name was George. And when he met this guy, George, only one question he had, why? And kept saying, why? And no one was able to deal with this and help. And then the doctor, who is psychotherapist, he listened what he said. And there was a lot on this man's shoulders. He lost two adult children, died two of his adult sons died. Sister had the stroke. Both parents died, and he's only one survivor of Vietnam War of his squad. There was something that, you know, and that's why. And he cannot. He believes in God, and he just trying to wrestle with the God. To find a way. He cannot accept this. It's a terrible pain and suffering. You know, my struggle is now, I cannot accept and I do not understand why child in Ukraine, in Mariupol, for example, or Kharkiv, or Kyiv, is less valuable than the child of the NATO countries. I have no idea. So it's like it's a second class of people. Oh, they can die because they are not part of the NATO. Or we cannot close the sky because we will be in a danger. So if the children need to die, 82 by the way, by this time. Evil Putin, what can we do? This is it. But we don't want to start the Third World War. Guess what? It's already on. It's already on. And you know, when all humanity is observing that, seeing that evil, there should need to be only one response. You cannot deal with evil. You cannot communicate with evil. You know, the Golda Meir, she was a Jewish survivor, and she was saying, you are not dealing with someone who came to your house to kill you. What kind of negotiation you're going to have if someone appeared to kill you? Killer. Serial killer. And this is what happening now. It's my struggle, my spiritual struggle. And I do not understand. I cannot accept that. And my Ukrainian people are second-class people who need to die, you know, because they are not part of NATO. Now, there's many struggles. And these struggles are with us and all our life. Because if we are not zombies, we're going to have we'll feel this. We're very human. It's very human to struggle, to have questions, to have doubts, and say why, and to wrestle with the God. This is not the sign of the weakness of our faith. It's a sign that you're alive. It's a sign that you have conscience, that you understand, and you have a heart which is alive, which is reacting on everything and the evil which present and exist. So spiritual struggles are natural part of life, and the spiritual struggles have profound implication for the health and well-being of us. I'm losing weight now. I cannot eat, I cannot sleep, and so on. This is that impact of that struggle, very painful and not easy to carry and deal with. But spiritual struggle can lead to the two ways. It's either despair or growth. You know, I know for 100% if Ukraine will make it, this will be one of the strongest, most beautiful countries in the world.
It will, Father, it will.
If Ukraine will make it, then NATO will ask if they can join Ukraine, because there will be, everything will be opposite. You know, Ukrainian army now destroyed more tanks than whole Germany has on the papers, not 550, something like this. So this is one of the strongest army in the world. And but it can be an opposite thing. We can say, oh, we alone, we left, we sacrificed, we give up. This is despair. Or we can say, no, we're going to fight. Again, my struggle is how many should die till it's all end and it's all will be clear and victory will arrive, and how long the Putin will be exercising his evilness upon Ukraine. Definitely we will be different. I will be different after this all over, and Ukraine will be different, and all of us will be different. So what we need, how hard it is, but accept that struggle. I accepted when I had to deliver when I delivered that speech at St. Paul Cathedral. I name it. That's why I had kind of quite a little relief. That's when I was very tired, was that it all went up. And what else now needed? Just support. Support. This is what many of us are doing. Calling, asking, supporting, standing. This is very much needed because we humans need each other. Today's gospel. You know, this paralyzed man, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do, but his friends stand for him so much that they decided to make initiative and take him and carry him to the Lord.
Слухали радіопрограму «Христос посеред нас»,
яка виходить за сприянням єпархіального комітету ресурсів Української католицької єпархії Святої Йозефата, що в Пармі, Огайо та інших парафій,
яку до ефіру підготували редактор Оксана Ларнатович, звукорежисер Зановій Левковський.
Запрошуємо вас стати спонсором релігійної просвітницької програми. Ваші пожертви просимо надсилати за адресою
Dear Susan Resource Committee, Post Office Box 16319, Pittsburgh, PA 15242.
Мир вам і вашому дому.